Welcome to the Uplevel Your Agency podcast, the go-to resource for agency owners or any service provider who's looking to get better at delegating client work, improving operations, and leading their company. I'm your host, Nicole Miller. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey everyone, Nicole here, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Aisha Crumbine, who is a leadership coach and consultant. Aisha helps people know, love, and believe so deeply in who they are so that they show up fully in their lives. And today, she's going to have a conversation with me about personal leadership and how it impacts professional leadership. The differences between managers and leaders, the four functions of a leader, and really how to hire leaders inside of your business, because we talk about how leadership is not just a certain level or title within the company. Everybody has the ability to be a leader. And if you've listened in for a while now, you know that this is something that I've talked about before. And so I'm so excited to have her here with us today. Aisha is someone who you can find on stage as a keynote speaker. She provides training for leadership teams and mission-driven organizations. She also hosts retreats where she holds space for people to do their most important work. So without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Aisha. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Cannot wait to have this conversation with you today. We first met, for those who are listening, on a leadership panel that was hosted by a friend of ours. And when I did a little Google stalking after that panel to learn more about you, I realized that you were Dare to Lead certified, which, for those of you listening, know my slight obsession with Brené Brown and her work. And I was really excited to learn about that and have conversations with you. And I'm looking forward to chatting with you today about leadership, because I know that it's something that's so important for our listeners, for agency owners that are growing their team. It's always something that they want to develop, and everyone wants to be a good leader, but it can be hard to get there. And so before I ask you all the questions about that, I would love to know from you, how did you get started in a career around leadership?
That's actually probably, it's either a hard question or my answer is going to be really silly. I'm going to go with the really silly version of my answer. I think I've always been interested in leadership. Like, I watch movies and I am paying attention to how main characters lead. So like, I would watch Braveheart and I'm like, oh, like these people follow him, or A Knight's Tale. I mean, like, so leadership has just always been the lens through which I looked. And then when I found myself in leadership positions, I called on kind of that previous context to inform how I showed up in leadership and where I looked for development around my leadership. So I think it's like a bone that I've always had. And once I got into positions, I really wanted to understand it better. And that just kind of led me to unraveling this ball of yarn.
So was it really thinking about like how you could develop your own leadership and then wanting to help and coach others around developing their own leadership? Is that how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, I think it's partially that. And I think it's also partially this belief that everybody is a leader. And arriving at that belief and then figuring out how do I get other people on board with that belief so that they can see themselves in that way and orient to themselves in that way and develop themselves in that way.
Could you quickly define what is leadership? What is a leader for folks who are listening? Because I think it's something that a lot of people who listen want to develop. They know that in order to really run a business, they have to be able to lead their people. They need to be able to lead themselves. But I think that it can be a very, very vague term. So how do you define leadership, and what makes a quote unquote good leader?
Yeah, so I love Brené's definition of leader. And I'm going to paraphrase because I won't get it exactly right. But she says a leader is anyone at any level who sees the potential in people and processes and has the courage to develop that potential. And what I like about that definition is, one, it's not based on function. It's not based on title, or it's anyone at any level who looks at a situation or looks at a person and sees that potential and is brave enough to develop it. And that works because then everybody is a leader. And when you are running your business, you don't shoulder the responsibility of all the things. Your role, just like the person you hire, their role is to look at the people around them, to look at the processes in your business, and have the courage to try to make them better. And when you look through that lens, I'm like, my kids are leaders in my house. They look at me as a parent, they look at our house and how it runs, and they give us feedback on how to make it better. I'm like, great, cultivating leadership in our kids. It's just a more empowering way to look at ourselves in the role as leader.
Where does someone begin with this? If they're an agency owner, as many of our listeners are, and they have team, they're kind of trying to figure business out and keep it running and juggling a lot of different things. Where do they start when it comes to developing their leadership?
My rule, my personal rule, is in order to lead others well, you have to lead yourself first. So you have to look at yourself and say, like, where is my potential as a leader? Where is my opportunity for growth? And what kind of courage must I muster up to develop that? Because in the process of leading yourself, you develop skills like self-awareness. You develop skills around compassion. You develop skills around empathy. And in learning and developing those skills, you are then able to extend it to others as you lead them. But if you haven't done that work yourself, the expectations that you have for other people are sometimes void of that empathy. It's void of the self-awareness and how you come across with other people. And so sometimes we find ourselves like in this, why aren't you doing? It kind of kicks us into judgment of the people who are working for us. And we get into that judgment because we haven't done the work ourselves and we don't know what it feels like and we don't know how hard it is. So we can't relate to the people who are working with us alongside of us in their own quest to leadership. And it makes for a really messy situation. So I absolutely say start with yourself. Mm. And when you do that, you also learn how to manage others in the process.
You mentioned, I think it was compassion and self-awareness. Would you call those qualities of a leader? What are those? And also, are there others? Yeah, are there others we should be looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think half of the reason why we don't, I'd imagine people left jobs because they were working for others who were sitting in leadership positions who were completely unaware of how they came across.
Yep. Yep.
And so when you are self-aware, when you have kind of an emotional intelligence around yourself, how do my emotions show up? What do I behave like when I am feeling these kinds of feelings? You're better able to manage yourself, to like regulate yourself, and then intentionally decide how you want to show up in a moment. If you haven't done that work, you're reacting all the time. Mm. And my husband will call it like oozing funk all over the place, right? You're just oozing your non-self-aware, your emotional volatility all over the place in your business, with your team. And then you're wondering like why stuff isn't working, right? You asked what are some of those other things? I'd say self-awareness is critical. Like just your ability to step outside of yourself and say, okay, what, Aisha, what's going on here? Like, what are you feeling? And how is what you're feeling making you behave? And is that how you want to behave? No? Okay, how do you want to behave? What do you need to do that? Right? Like that self-awareness, that ability to kind of coach yourself in a way. Emotional intelligence, self-compassion, because oh my, like when you think about potential means there's some, like you can either look at it as a deficit or potential. And our tendency is to look at it as a deficit and then judge ourselves for not being, right? Versus there's all this potential for me to get better. That's because I'm into extending myself grace, right? Learning how to extend grace and to talk kindly to ourselves. And to assume that every one of us is doing the best that we can at the moment we are doing it. Those are skills that, oh my goodness, when we learn to do that for ourselves, we have overflow with which to do it with the people who work with us.
Yes.
That's a totally different kind of work environment, right? Like people will never want to leave your team if you operate in that way.
Yeah, I just had another interview with someone who is in HR, and she was talking about how important it is to lead with transparency and share with her team, what are some of the things I feel like I'm doing well? What are the some things that haven't gone well? I feel like I need to improve. These were the things I messed up. And it created such a culture of honesty and transparency where then other team members would share openly and honestly and would actually, I feel like it's from that place of truth where you're able to actually feel safe in your environment so that you can actually improve. And so the idea of it starting with you, I think, makes so much sense. And what I also got from what you shared is that it seems like it's a very individualized process because the way I want to show up and the way I want to behave might be different than the way somebody else wants to show up and behave. And so I'm wondering if there's a leader out there who, or a business owner out there who has having some team issues where maybe the team is leaving and it's totally unexpected. Like I thought everything was going fine and they didn't share anything with me and then they just like gave a 1 week notice and left. Or I'm noticing that these team members, I keep checking in with them, but then I find out that they're actually complaining to other members of the team. Where would you recommend that person starts? Because that can feel like a really hard place to be in, especially when you feel like you're trying to cultivate a great company environment, but does that have anything to do with leadership?
It can, and my, I was as you were asking the question, the thing that came up for me was like sometimes it's really not about you, right? We as leaders and as business owners, we believe that everything is about us because we take personal responsibility. Like that's kind of like the required character trait of somebody who is starting their business. Like you take personal responsibility for all the things. And sometimes it's actually not about you, right? Sometimes people are in places on their own personal leadership journey where they haven't figured out how to ask for what they need. And it's much easier for them to walk away, to talk to somebody else, than to own the vulnerability that's required to say, I actually don't know how to do what you're asking me to do. Can you help me? Like that takes so much courage. So I think there's this one of getting curious with yourself around like, how did I show up in this relationship? Where is there potential for me to learn how this is unfolding? Did I know something I didn't act on, like acting my values around? And after you've done kind of that initial pass and had conversation with the other person, you kind of bless and release, right? Because if you don't bless and release it, you'll hold on to it and you'll start to poke holes with yourself, poke holes in how you're leading. And that can be really heavy, right? Like you can carry that into other, relationships that you're managing. You can carry that into your business. Like it's just a negative energy that you can't do anything about. That person is like gone. They are gone. Bless and release. Do some of your own kind of inquiring around how you were leading. Pulse check with somebody else on your team. Say, hey, I'm trying to make sure that like how I am intending to show up is also how I'm being received. Is this in alignment? Yes, great. All right. Work on what you need for the next person to come in, what you've learned from that previous situation, and keep it moving.
I really like that question. I'm intending to show up this way. Is this how it's actually being received? I think is so helpful. And to find somebody on the team that you have that ability to have that conversation with, where they will answer, you know, truthfully to you, and that you value what they have to share. I think that's great. So curious, I help people with the foundations of their agency, team, management. There tends to be a little bit of a crossover, it seems, between people feeling like they need to be good leaders and good managers. And I think sometimes the definitions are a little fuzzy. And I remember on the leadership panel that we were on, you were like, I could go on about the differences between leadership and management. I would love to hear from your perspective. What are the differences between leading and managing? And is there crossover at any time?
Yeah, I mean, I think of like managing is supporting people in the execution of. It is a doing thing. Leadership is about being. It is how you are showing up. You know, sometimes you can, how you are showing up and doing things, but those are very different, right? Like if I am managing you, I am managing you to execute against certain tasks. If I am leading you, I am looking for the potential in you and helping you optimize that potential so that you can do your task better. Right? Like those are totally different. And I think sometimes we misassociate the two. Like we think, oh, I'm a manager and therefore I am a leader. Well, you can be like, okay, tell me what's on your list. What do you have to get done? How are you going to get those done? By when are you going to get those done? That's management, right? Leadership is having a conversation of like, what does a vision of success look like for you? How will you need to show up in order to realize that vision? What do you think might be some of the things that will get in your way? How are you planning to mitigate against those? Right? That's a very different conversation. It's assuming that the person who owns the work is the expert in the work. I, as a leader, don't have to be an expert in your work. I'm an expert in people and seeing the potential and having the courage to develop that potential in people. That's my lane.
Do you think that great managers also have to be leaders?
My first thought is no. Like, I think you can be a great task manager and not necessarily be good at making people or helping people like optimize themselves in the process. Like, you can get things done. Checklist. Yep. I don't think that makes you a good leader.
Totally. And I think it's interesting because my first business that I started after I left my job was project management. And I very quickly realized that it wasn't enough for us to put together a project plan and communicate it out to people and make sure people were following deadlines, because what happens when people aren't meeting the deadlines, and what happens when a problem comes up and we have to figure it out together? And so I don't think I realized it at the time, but I think those conversations that you were talking about having was what I would do. Cause I'm just like, hey, what's going on? Like, what's going on from your perspective? Like, how can we make this better? You know? And some people had never even been asked.
Because we've specialized in management, like our focus. And even sometimes when we talk about leadership, what we're really talking about is management.
Right.
So it makes sense that we've conflated the two. It makes sense that we think that to be a leader, you've got to manage other people. Like,
right.
It makes all the sense in the world, because that's what everything out there says.
Right. Totally. That's really interesting. So You had mentioned that anyone could be a leader. Like anyone on the team can be a leader because it's the courage to be able to see the potential in people and processes. And it sounds like that's a huge benefit. It's a huge benefit to bring people onto your team that have not the only ability for them to do their area of expertise, but also to be a leader in their area of expertise. And I think a question people might have is like, well, how do I find that person?
It's so interesting because when I was leading a team, I was like, I might be the leader of the team, but we all sit in a circle. Like there's no hierarchy here, right? So when I was looking for talent, I was looking for people who could own, who 100% would own their work. And I would tell my people, you are the CEO of your work. Your stream, whatever you like, I was in fundraising, right? And I was like, you own the event planning stream. You are the CEO of the event planning division of this team. And that orientation attracted people who didn't want to be micromanaged. It attracted people who loved having the autonomy in their role and being perceived as the top of the top in their role. My lane as the leader of the team was just like, my lane is you, the people. Your lane is the events. Your lane is the fundraising here. Your lane is this. But we're all CEOs at the table. And so, like, because I oriented that way, I attracted those kinds of people. And once they got on the team, I had to make good on that, right? Like, if I attracted those people and they micromanaged them, we have a massive problem. But because it's like, no, we're all CEOs. Like, this is the board of directors, this team. And that orientation allowed me to attract the right people, retain them. It guided the way that I treated them, the way I talked to them. Nobody ever felt like they worked under me.
I'm just having this realization because I talk about the identity shifts that happen when a business owner goes from providing a service. So let's say it's accounting or copywriting, right? They're the sole provider. They're responsible for the deliverables, responsible for the relationship with the client, responsible for their own work. And then moving into an agency owner role, which is the CEO role, where they're bringing in other people to really own their roles. And I've heard from people who are typically in the first stage of this, is it's like really hard to find people that actually own their role in the business. Like a lot of times people come in and just want to do tasks and don't go beyond that, right? And I think what's interesting is this is where personal leadership kind of comes into play. Well, first ask yourself, what is it that you actually feel comfortable delegating at this point? Are you willing to give up ownership at this point? Because I think that's a big concern when you have built your business based off of a certain quality of work and it's your name on the door, maybe it's not your name, maybe there's a company name, but you like are responsible for the output of work that you deliver. I think a lot of times in that first stage, people don't want to delegate ownership because they still want to manage. And so I think if anyone listening is in this position right now where you just haven't found the right team support or things aren't aligning, I think going back and asking yourself, like, what am I really prepared to delegate? Am I willing to delegate ownership? Am I willing to let somebody come in and be the CEO of this role? Or am I really still want to be highly involved?
And at what cost? Right? Because that's the question, right? Like, I can want to hold all the things. At what cost? What is the trade-off that I am deciding to make when I decide not to delegate this? Right? And sometimes we don't get that far in the thought process and we're just like, no, nobody can make Canva templates as well as I can. So I'm just going to hold on to that, but I'm going to delegate all the other things. Okay, great. So while you're doing these Canva templates, what are you not able to do because you are focusing your energy and effort in that way? So I think that's one part. I think the other part is like when you are bringing someone on, part of the moving on for you is to give them space to do it in a way that is different from the way that you might have done it. Right? Like you hire somebody, and you're like, well, here's the SOP and this is how we do it and this is it. Well, if you are hiring somebody and you just want to give them the thing to execute, you're not hiring a CEO because there's not any room for improvement in that process, right? You can say, this is how we've done it. Here is the ultimate goal. What's your vision of success for how we get there? Like, where is the possibility in here? Where's the potential in here? Like, I'm bringing you on because I want you to be so laser focused on this that you maximize all that it can be. And I know that I couldn't do that while also holding these other five balls. So I'm bringing you in so that this is your sole focus and to let go enough to let them bring their creativity to it, let them bring their strengths and their skills to it in a way that we couldn't while we were dividing our mental energy five different ways.
I'm so glad that you shared that because my next question was going to be, how do you make sure that you still have quality control in place and that your customers are coming to you because they expect a certain experience or based on your brand? And so how to continue to have that while also allowing people within your organization to have that creativity. And from what I heard you say, it sounds like it's being clear on how you've done things and then also what the expectation is and then allowing them to give feedback and kind of grow and experiment and have you along the way to guide them. Am I missing anything in that? Is there anything else?
That is spot on. That's spot on. And allowing there to be room, like where there is innovation, there is failure. Wrap your mind around it. Right? Just okay. I'm bringing somebody in. They're gonna test some new things. They're gonna try some new things. Somewhere in there, it's not gonna work. Okay. Okay. Right? Because sometimes at the first sign of something going wrong, we're like, give me that back because my name is on this. I can't risk that. Right? Our people have become accustomed to this level of no, like the way you grow is trial and error, like strategic trial, intentional trial. We're not all willy-nilly out here just throwing stuff at the walls, right? But there, somebody somewhere decided to try a VIP day. You think the first one worked? No. The second one, did it? Maybe it worked a little bit better, but not. Oh, but on that third try, like it took off. So you've got to allow there to be space for some falling along the way.
I like that you said strategic because, for those listening, it's not that you are going to let this new team member hand a deliverable to a client that has completely different deliverable than what you promised, right? It's setting those expectations, giving there some freedom for creativity, and then setting it up in a way where it will still work. There may be some things that you won't be able to experiment with just because of where you are in the project, but there might be some other opportunities where you can. And so really figuring that out in a kind of a controlled environment, be able to allow people to step into their leadership, which is ultimately going to enable you to be able to evolve your company, which is what we kind of have to do.
And what it makes me think about rubrics, like as an English teacher in my other life, right? It's like when you were in high school or whatever, you had a rubric. It was like these things on the chart count this much towards your final grade. And then here are some other little things, right? So like if somebody came onto your team and you said, look, you're responsible for this part. Here's a rubric of what everything we put out has to meet. And these are the things that are non-negotiables. Like everything has to be, it's grammar sound, it's aesthetically on brand, it delivers in a timely manner, like whatever those non-negotiables are, right? They weigh more. And then at the bottom of the rubric, you said, like, if there are places where you wanted to test some new things out, here are some places where, like, feel free. Like, but we're not going to compromise the core of our work for the sake of innovation, right? So that's the strategic part, right? Like, please try some things out. These are the things that are non-negotiables that we have to maintain. Outside of that, have fun. I want to see you having fun. I want to see you bringing your creative juices. Like, please, that's what's going to help us grow.
Do you think that it can be hard to be a leader?
Can be? Yes. Is? Yes.
Tell me more about this.
it's an ongoing practice, right? Like every day. Okay, so I think there are four functions of a leader. This is like part of my framework, right? Like the first function is you set a vision, right? Like a vision for what success looks like for you. Everybody on your team should have a vision for success for their role. And everybody should know what everybody else's vision is, right? And then you figure out like where are you against where you want to be and chart a course to that vision, right? So like set the vision, chart a course, right? The third step is like investing others and yourself in that vision. What support will you need? What help will you need from others to pull that off? Like, okay, this is where I'm going. This is what I can bring. This is where there's a gap in my development. Here's where I need some help. And then the fourth step is keeping out the riffraff. It's called protecting the vision, but I say keeping out the riffraff. It's like anything that gets in the way or that is a threat to your vision and the work you are doing, your job is to like keep the riffraff out. Sometimes the riffraff is your brain. Sometimes the riffraff are the little voices in your head telling you this about how you're doing this work, this about what this client did. Like, it's, and so when I say leadership is hard, any one of those four steps could fall apart at any moment. Like a threat could come in and compromise your vision. Are you going to acknowledge it? Are you going to kick it out the moment you recognize it? There could be somebody on your team who is really like out of alignment with the vision. The longer you let them stay, the more they compromise your work. That's a practice in leadership in addressing that quickly, right? That's hard. That's a really hard thing to do, to look at where you are and where you want to be, and then realize, I actually don't know how to fix this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to ask for help. Mm-hmm. That is hard. That is an everyday practice. So, you know, is being a leader hard? And that's just like on yourself. That's not even talking about leading the other people, right? When you talk about, now I've got to lead other people and hold them to the vision. I've got to hold them to developing the skills that they need to help us realize the vision. I've got to keep out the craziness. That's work.
It is. And that, you know, you were talking about how it can happen at any step of the process. And I've heard this as feedback that people don't even want to have a vision for success because they're so afraid that they're not going to get it, that they feel like almost they're setting themselves up for failure by having this vision for success. Yeah. So they don't even set it to begin with. And I love the point that you shared about how you have the vision of success and then you identify where you are now. You're not supposed to be like, you don't have to be there right now. You may never be there, right?
No, you're not. Like that's almost like let yourself off the hook.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be at the end. You're not like every day is a step in that direction. When you get to the end, you're done. I'm not done yet. So since I'm not done, every day is progress. I'm learning something every day on my journey in that direction. I'm not expecting myself to arrive. It is the most liberating orientation to leadership ever.
I had a question come up recently on I think it was inside of our group, which was how to know when you should continue to expand or if you should contract. And I thought this was such an important question because I think that sometimes what you know, business is constantly evolving, and there's times where you have to really assess where you are right now and assess what is the vision. Is this vision the same vision that I had last year or 3 months ago based on where we are right now? And for someone who, I think so many business owners have this question, whether or not they actually ask it out loud, if somebody's at the point where they're like, is this path that I'm following actually where we should be going? Or is it time to kind of like reassess and go in a different direction? What advice would you give to them? Because you mentioned the kind of the threats, right? Sometimes it can even be voices in our head that are doubting or saying this isn't possible. And so I think it can be a really, really challenging place to be in when it's like, am I wanting to contract? And it might not even be, it's not really contracting. I think it's more like following a different path. Am I wanting to do this because of what I'm telling myself and doubts that I'm having, and I just need to like recommit? Or is this actually what I should be doing?
I think that's a tough one, because my first thought is sometimes in this like entrepreneurial business journey, our focus or the inputs from what we see out there influences so much of what we think we're supposed to do. And so sometimes people will set these huge goals because somebody else out there said, this is what success looks like.
Yep.
And my first thought is like, how are you checking in with yourself and asking yourself, like, what does success look like and sound like and feel like for me? And I think noticing what peace feels like in your body will help you know whether it's because you're out of alignment or in alignment with what's for you, right? I think sometimes we move so fast, we don't even know what peace in our body feels like. So we're just going and going and going, and then we find ourselves down this trail and we're like, whoop it. How did I get here? I'm exhausted, I'm overwhelmed, I'm doing things that I don't even like to do. What is happening here, right? So that's like my first line of thought there. And I think the second would be, is having a process by which you say, this is what success is and means for me. Success means for me that, you know, I work X number of hours, I have this amount of time for my family. Like, here are the buckets in my life that matter to me. Is where I'm going in alignment with the vision I have for success in my life, right? So you have something to measure up against. I think some of us, the challenge is like, we've set goals and visions for our work in a silo, not within the context of our entire lives. And then we kind of feel driven by our work. And then we're like, ooh, is this really right? And we don't know how to answer that because we don't have a compass by which to compare it.
Yeah, I think that's such a good way to evaluate it, is to really take some time to get quiet with yourself and really understand, what does success look like to me? And like my vision for myself, because I know what success looked like to me. Oh my gosh, I found business journals from like 5 years ago, and I'm reading through them and I'm like, oh, Nicole, you have a long way to go. The things that I put value on, it was very much of other people's definition of success. And at the time, that was my choice. And, you know, but it's like, what are we really after here? And I think if you can take a look at that and realize, I am still building towards this, and I'm just experiencing maybe a difficulty right now, but I know that the path forward is to whatever it may be, release this client, bring in a new team member, fire this person, you know, reevaluate a process here. And that's going to continue to get me closer to what it is that I'm looking for. Then you know, you're on the right track. So, so thank you for that. I think that's really, helpful.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think it through the lens of like business coaches And I see people who are making like tons of money, like tons and tons of money. And I'm like, yes, I want that. And recently, I was just like, actually, I don't want to run a team. I don't want to do that. Here's my lane. I love doing this and I love doing this. And if I can keep focused on these two things, then it allows me to have time with my kids. It allows me to travel. It allows me to like make a bunch of money without constantly posting on Facebook or constantly like fishing for clients. I'm like, listen, because I'm very clear on what the quality of my life looks like and how work fits into that. I'm not saying that as agency owners, like you can have that too. Like
Totally.
you can have that too.
Totally. And you know, I think like there is with anything, it's like this is your journey. You know, there's
Yeah.
going to be some people that an agency makes sense for them for 5 years, 10 years, 2 years. And then they learn something about themselves or the way that they like to work and they change it or they add something there. They shift. Like, I think that that's such a part of life. And I think it's sometimes, I don't even know if it's easier to grasp with jobs. 'Cause I remember being in a job and thinking I could never leave that job. 'Cause I was just like, well, what do I do next? And like all of this stuff. But you know, it just becomes a part of your journey. But if you never do it, if you never try, if you like, sometimes like it takes you doing things to learn what you don't want and what you do want. And so
Well,
I
and you're
think,
growing. We're growing people, like we're growing,
yes.
evolving people, right? You can outgrow something that you thought you wanted.
Right. I constantly tell agency owners that they need to evaluate their foundations all the time. Like, and which are your ideal clients? Who do you want to be working with? How do you want to be working with them? Your processes, how do you want to be delivering? Because as you gain these experiences, things might shift and they will shift. And I used to only want to work with this one client. And then you realize, some of those clients are like kind of a pain in the ass.
Well, it makes me think about like it sounds like there should be a process, like a scheduled process, even if it's like once a quarter,
Yes.
where you ask yourself, like, what am I learning about the core buckets in my business? What am I learning about my clients? What am I learning about how we serve them? What about am I learning about like the people and the roles that are required to serve them? Like, what am I learning, and how is that then informing the next quarter?
Yes.
Right. And if you have that standard process, then you can kind of keep tabs on the learning and the evolution in real time. Okay, you know what? We had these three clients come in and we loved them. What did we love about them? Why did we love them? Right. And oh, okay, so how did we get them? And let's try to do more of that in the next quarter to get more of the kinds of clients we love. Who did we not love working with? Right? Like, if that is built into your the cadence of your work, then you always have this pulse on the leading, right? Seeing the potential and the people and processes, so that you're it's fueling your growth.
This has been such a great conversation. I really appreciate you being here and just having this conversation with me and sharing your brilliance when it comes to developing your own leadership and leading others as well. People are interested in learning more about you or following you. Where can they do that?
So I am super active on LinkedIn. That's like my home base.
You
So
are.
Aisha,
I've been seeing you. I just got back into LinkedIn and
I
so now I'm just like,
love
wow.
LinkedIn.
Yeah, you share some great stuff on LinkedIn.
That is my home base. So I am there, Aisha Krumbine, and then my website is aishakrumbine.com. Those are my two places. I don't hang out. My Instagram is for fun. So if you just want to follow me for fun, feel free to do that too.
Great.
But that's where I am. Those are my hotspots.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here and for everyone listening. Thanks for joining us, and I will see you next week. If you enjoyed today's episode, then I highly recommend you check out my free training, three reasons why you're an agency owner who's still doing client work, and how to delegate for good. Head over to NicoleJacksonMiller.com/uplevel to watch it now.